Happy Sunday, everybody. I have been cozied up indoors all day long. It's been a drizzly, rainy, cloudy day in Nashville, but I've honestly loved it because I've gotten to spend all day creating some awesome content for you guys for episode number 3, which I'm even more excited to bring you. I do want to share a little bit about my personal life just because I feel like if you're going to be spending all this time listening to me talk, I want you guys to get to know me a little bit better. So this week was super crazy. I got to catch up with a lot of my good girlfriends. My best friend was in town from New York picking up her wedding dress. She's getting married in France in May, and I am so excited. So we did some wedding planning. I loved planning my own wedding. It was a blast, and my best friend is wonderful for many things, but planning a wedding is not hers. So it was really fun to get together with her wedding planner and talk about those fun things. And then of course, Thursday was Valentine's Day. Keegan took me on a date to True Food Kitchen, which is basically one of my favorite places to go. It's awesome for the anti-inflammatory diet based off of Dr. Andrew Weil. So listen to a podcast on Tim Ferriss with him, which was super, super interesting. So I love True Food Kitchen. We had some great food. I think I was brain dead that day because I ordered pasta. And guys, I don't even eat grains. I don't even know why. I guess because I was at this restaurant that I can usually eat everything on the menu, which is not normally the case. So mentally, lapse in judgment for a moment there, but I don't know what I was thinking. But we figured it out. It's a great day. It's really fun for us to make time during the week to do something fun, just the two of us. So it just happened to be on Valentine's Day as well. And then another interesting thing about this week is I started the Smile Direct Club Aligners. So yes, I am the genius who decided to start a podcast and give myself a lisp all in the same week. And I'm not wearing them now. I took them out to record the podcast, but my mouth has been through a lot this week. It's pretty rough, but I'm only going to have to wear them for 6 months. So I'd love to know if you guys like hearing me chat about my life and hearing this little bit of fun stuff before we get into the meat of what this podcast is going to be about. So let me know. Make sure to comment on my latest Instagram post at Jules THMPSN. So my last name Thompson without the O's. And make sure to go to my website and send me an email if you have any questions, tips, suggestions. I'd love to hear from you guys what's going to be helpful for you. I made this theme of this podcast today all about setting up your strategy for your influencer marketing process, which I think is such an important part that people don't realize exists. Setting things up from the front end, really having that bird's eye view of what you're looking for and what you need out of your influencer marketing program is super important when you approach different campaigns, and everything kind of stems from that. So I really wanted to make sure to set that foundation so that way all the time you're constantly thinking about, why am I doing this campaign? What's important? And you're always kind of referring back to that when you're working with influencers. So it's a long one today. I know it's like twice as long as normal, but I have a lot of good stuff in here. I tried to put in a lot of data so that you guys can really get a good idea of where we're at as an industry. And I could have that to rely on and fall back on. So to give you guys more value. I really hope you enjoy it. I hope you can stick around and wait till the end and make sure to let me know what you love about this episode. And ooh, I almost forgot. We are everywhere now. So you can listen to this on Spotify or iTunes or anywhere that you listen to your podcast. So would love for you guys to check me out there as well. That would mean a lot to me. I am still figuring all of this out and still trying to figure out best practices and all of those lovely things. So thank you so much for your support and sticking with me through this. And I couldn't be more appreciative. So without further ado, let's get into it. Setting up your goals for influencer marketing strategy. Enjoy. Hi everyone, hope you've had an awesome week. I've been itching to get back on the mic and I'm so excited to talk to you today about where to start when it comes to your influencer marketing strategy. So I have been getting a lot of questions about where to start and how to go about reaching out to influencers. And while I could definitely sit here and give you a bunch of action items of ways to reach out to influencers, how to do so, where to do so, I really think it would be doing you a disservice to just tell you how to do all of those things when the first thing that you really should be considering is why you're reaching out to influencers. It's been pretty clear to me that most people, even marketing professionals, skip this really crucial step in their influencer marketing process, which is figuring out why you need one in the first place and what your goal is for your business. So that's what we're going to be discussing and exploring today. Because honestly, from here, the rest of it is just go for it. In my last episode, I talked a little bit about why it's so important to have an influencer marketing strategy as part of your overall marketing initiative. And because you can't argue with data, here are some more recent statistics that I found to just help really drive home that point that I hope will be eye-opening and useful for you guys like they were for me. Anytime that I can get my hands on some data about this industry, it's always super fascinating. So excited to share some of this with you guys. And I will definitely make sure to link these articles to the show notes so that you guys can go back and review them and look over them again for yourself, because I definitely am not going to bore you with a ton of numbers, just the ones that I think are relevant to our conversation today. So this first little tidbit of joy, joyful news, is from a survey of over 800 influencer marketing agencies and professionals from the 2019 Influencer Marketing Benchmark Report, take a breath, by Influencer Marketing Hub. So yes, it's a mouthful, but basically what I'm saying is that this article is reputable and recent, which is super hard to find. So this industry has doubled in 2 years, from a $3 billion industry to projection of $6.5 billion by the end of 2019. So this industry is exploding. I think we all knew that, but it's just great to kind of have some figures in front of it. So 86% of marketers have a dedicated budget for influencer marketing in 2019, compared to 37% in 2017. So that's over doubled as well. So businesses are really seeing the value of influencer marketing and putting dedicated budget behind those initiatives. So not only that, but their budgets, the ones that have dedicated budget for influencer marketing, they're going to grow over the next 12 months. So budgets are going to kind of set up to grow throughout the year, because more and more money is going to be put behind influencer marketing campaigns. This should really encourage you to consider putting time, resources, and money behind this form of marketing this year, and feel really, really confident that if executed correctly, you're going to see some awesome, incredible results. And you don't have to trust me. You can trust the numbers. So now 77% of the survey respondents said their campaigns and strategy for influencer marketing were run in-house. So brands have people in-house running these influencer marketing campaigns versus 23% opting to use agencies. So if you ask me, obviously, because I am one of those 77%, I'd really encourage you to implement your influencer marketing strategy in-house. So that means using one of your existing employees, doing it yourself, or hiring someone to come in and to start your program is going to be super, super beneficial for you. That's my current position. I can tell you that it'll be very challenging to find an agency who will be as intentional and careful with your budget and the selection of influencers as you or your team would be. Agencies run the risk of overspending and under-delivering or measuring success in a different way than you do. In fact, I just had a conversation with my best friend, who is a senior digital advertising consultant in New York City at an agency that works exclusively with one of the largest beauty brands in the entire world. And they outsource their influencer marketing strategy. And one issue they ran into is the agency wanted to measure reach by how many followers the influencer had. So that can also be translated as impressions. So reach and impressions are kind of the same thing. So she wanted to base the data off of how many people actually saw the post. So the brand wanted to pay and measure results by who actually sees the post and not just their overall reach. And she said that the standard that they go off of, if the data isn't available, so if an influencer can't send that to them or they don't have access to it through their measurement platform, that they just kind of say 30% of the follower count is what you can assume with Instagram's algorithm that that percentage of the audience will see. So meaning if you're working with an influencer that has 100,000 followers, they'd assume that 30,000 people saw it. So that's a very different measurement system than the one we have and that a lot of other brands use. And obviously that would greatly affect the return that they are going to measure from a collaboration. If you think that you're going to pay someone, you know, $1,000 for every 100,000 followers, but you know, you're going to expect a return at only 30,000, that's obviously a disconnect in expectations. So you know, brands and agencies do have complicated relationships at times, and it's very, very difficult, clearly, to create some sort of industry standard going this way because everyone's kind of doing their own thing. So super interesting tidbit of information that I found out this week. The one advantage to working with an agency, in my opinion, is outsourcing time. So it will save you time because you're not out there finding the influencers, working with them, negotiating, etc. However, it'll be at the risk of losing the opportunity to create relationships with the influencers that you work with. So 96% of influencers prefer ongoing long-term relationships, and the opportunity to have these long-term relationships is the second most important factor next to compensation that differentiates a good versus great brand experience as an influencers. So losing that personal touch can be detrimental to your success with influencer marketing. It'll be hard to kind of know who you've worked with in the past. If you do decide to stop working with an agency, if you've already started, it'll be hard to say, hey, who does really great content for me? Who do I want to keep working with? You don't get the communication back and forth of if this influencer actually likes and uses and loves this product that, you know, this agency has sent them. So I just feel like you do miss out a lot on that relationship building aspect of influencer marketing that is so, so important. So yeah, that statistic is from a survey of 200 influencers from Aspire IQ, which is actually the platform that we use to streamline the process of our campaigns. But you know, my inclination about platforms is kind of the same as agencies. So an interesting statistic I found was that 320 platforms were created in 2018 alone, and you know, that results in a lot of obstacles for influencers and brands actually using these platforms. They're not as intuitive as we would want them to be. They don't function as well as we would want them to be. And it can end up being a turnoff for influencers wanting to work with you if it's too hard to even sign up for your campaign. So that's obviously no bueno. That is not what you want. You want to make any platform you work with streamline the process, make it easier for both ends. They do make it easier to organize your campaigns and to understand where you are with each influencers at different stages, which is super helpful when you're doing a campaign that has a lot of different influencers. However, if you know it's causing too many issues and too many back and forths, and who knows how many influencers fall through the cracks when a platform isn't working correctly. So, you know, I just think personally that a lot of these platforms are just too new and not intuitive enough and not changing enough. And too many brands have different goals and things that they want. So I just, you know, it's been a real struggle to find platforms that actually do what they are supposed to do and helping making the relationship between brands and influencers easier and not harder. So that's another thing to consider. Not to mention, my whole entire goal with this podcast is to help small businesses, or really any size business that doesn't currently have an in-house influencer marketing program, feel like they can take on influencer marketing and make it a priority for their business based on the information that I am sharing with you. Not only this podcast, but I really, really have big hopes, dreams, goals to create PDFs and checklists and things that you can download and fill out to kind of really walk you through the influencer marketing process. I'm really going to give you as much advice and tangible tips and tricks as I possibly can, as I'm learning them even, just to kind of help you navigate this world a little bit easier. So, yeah, I'm excited to bring those to you shortly. I've definitely already started working on them, and I'm really excited to bring them to you. So make sure that you're subscribing to my website, JulesThompson.com. Put your email address in there, and I will make sure to send you these PDFs and downloads as they become available. So you definitely don't want to miss out on those. So I want to preface this by managing your expectations of this not so perfect science sector of marketing. So you guys have all heard me kind of talk about the issues in finding relevant data that's recent, that's up to date, and the issues and challenges when it comes to tracking results and ROI. We're all learning as we go here and doing our best to stay on top of the latest trends and data. And even when I was researching info for this podcast episode, I came across a lot of repurposed data from the same research pool, from the same surveys, and a lot of it was outdated. And with an industry growing this fast, information from 2017, I don't know how good that is. So as important it is to take what we do know and learn from it and create processes internally where we can have a really, really sharp data to rely on, we also do have to be flexible, adaptable, and constantly reformulating how we approach things. So there's always going to be an element of trial and error here, and I want to make sure that you know that going into it. Although you can have a pretty good guess, you never really know how someone's audience is going to respond to your specific product. So understand that you can take risks in this business and that won't severely affect your bottom line, especially when you're working with influencers just for product only campaigns and working with micro influencers and all of that. You know what? That's part of what makes this so fun and exciting, is that there are going to be campaigns where you can play around a little bit more. They're lower risk. And there's obviously going to be campaigns that you put more money behind, but that should also correlate to your experience and comfort level and based on the data that you do collect. So the first thing that you need to think about when you consider working with influencers is what your company's goal is, like I mentioned earlier. Three common goals in relation to influencer marketing are going to be increase brand awareness, create content, and to drive sales. So understanding which category your business falls into affects the entire approach you should have with your influencer strategy, which is why I thought it was so important that I talk about this first and foremost. It's okay for them to change over time or based on certain campaigns or company goals. They can change, they can adjust, but it's super important to always have your ultimate goal in mind. Whether you want more people to know who you are or reach a new set of customers, one thing's for sure, you are going to need to be on Instagram. As of 2017, so 2 years ago, Instagram is used by 70.7% of businesses, and you know that number is even higher now. If you don't have an Instagram presence, that's where you should start. And I'm not suggesting that you have to have a ton of content or a ton of followers, but something that shows potential customers who you are as a brand and what value you are bringing to them. According to Business Insider, 72% of Instagram users say they have purchased a product they saw on Instagram. Now, before you can establish a kick butt influencer program, you have to have somewhere to send the new customers these influencers will be sending you, right? Makes sense? Thought so. Influencers will send you customers, but it's your job to help convert and keep them and turn them into loyal, passionate, raving fans of your brand and your product. Now, this is a whole podcast in itself, I understand, but I had to make sure that that was out there first and foremost, because influencer marketing right now is happening primarily on Instagram. That's where brands are seeing the most results. And it's going to be kind of a wash for you if you put a lot of money and time and effort into influencer marketing when your Instagram account isn't where it needs to be. So keep that in mind, and I would definitely start there. Now, once you've established a brand vision and presence on Instagram, you're ready to start using the platform to your advantage with the help of some influencers. Remember how I said you need to identify your main goal? So here are some tips based on which one that you've identified for your business. If your focus is increasing brand awareness, then influencer marketing is perfect for you. With more options out there than you could manage at one time, brands have the advantage of endless supply of influencers to choose from. And don't forget that. Trust me, I know this from experience. It's easy to get starstruck by the influencers that you personally like and follow. You're going to want to bend over backwards, pay them your entire budget over and over again. But sometimes it's important to realize when you need to move on. Understand that if someone isn't a great fit for you or for your brand, or is out of your price range or difficult to work with, there are plenty of other options out there. The goals you should be setting to achieve awareness are going to be around your reach. So you're going to set more reach goals if this is your goal. Reach, what I mean by that is follower account. A great way to approach this is based on your budget and work backwards. So, as supported by an article by Forbes last year that interviewed industry experts, assume that you're going to need to pay an influencer $10 for every 1,000 followers. Or if you're kind of at a larger scale, you can think about it as $1,000 for every 100,000 followers. So if your reach goal is a million impressions, so a million people seeing seeing posts for this campaign, your budget is $5,000, let's say. You can either pay 5 influencers $1,000, getting you to a total reach of 500,000 paid impressions, but then your money's gone, right? And you're going to need to find that other $500,000 in reach. Now, you could either say, hey, these influencers, maybe they're going to post twice. Maybe I can count it as, you know, they do one post on the feed, they do one story. That's twice the bang for my buck. And there you go. There's that $1 million reach. Or you can find 50 influencers under $10,000 who may post for free for you, and still, you know, you still get to utilize the swipe up link. So I think an important thing to note here is that influencers are considered micro under 10,000. And I think a big reason and contributor to that is because you are only able to implement a swipe up feature in stories at 10,000 or above. So you got to think, if you're paying somebody under $10,000 and they can't directly link their followers to your product, that's a little bit less of a value add for you as a brand. So that's kind of something to consider. And I wanted to call that out here because it's something I'm going to discuss again in a little bit. But basically, I know I'm getting a little bit in the weeds here. I'm just trying to help you realize how much strategy that you can really put behind achieving your goals for influencer activations. So you really, really do need to spend a lot of time thinking about your goal, what it is, how much budget you can account for it, and what the best strategy to approach it will be, because that kind of affects everything else from there on out. So if you understand your goals and how they relate to one another, you set yourself up for success on the front end before you even send out your first DM. And once you have this figured out, you'll be able to build your list and send your messages from there and execute an awesome campaign. If your focus, on the other hand, is to create content, so maybe you're a newer brand, you need content, you don't have the time, resources, maybe you're the type of entrepreneur who doesn't have a creative side, and you're trying to think outside of the box of a way to get content to put on your Instagram or your social media. Now, influencer marketing is great for that too. This would be a great opportunity to work with micro influencers. So again, I'm saying the under 10,000 range. But be very picky about who you work with. Oftentimes, micro-influencers are the most enthusiastic, responsive, and fun to work with because this is really a passion project for them. They're excited about the opportunity to express their creativity and really do need opportunities to work with brands to expand their portfolio and media kit. So a lot of these micro-influencers are really, you know, if they're hustling and they're doing it right, they're going to take on opportunities as much as possible that are unpaid, so long as they do align with their brand and their values and their mission. So the same article I referenced earlier was talking about how from Inspire IQ, from that survey, was talking about how influencers believe that the most important things that brands look for is content. So influencers already know that brands are going to be looking for quality content for their business and for their social media accounts and to be able to repost, so on and so forth. Now, on the contrary, the Influencer Marketing Hum report said that as a brand, the most important thing for them is increasing brand awareness. So most brands are really focused on increasing brand awareness. That's the most important thing for them, whereas influencers, by and large, believe that content is the most important thing for them. So I just kind of thought that was an interesting difference in what influencers think brands want and what brands actually want. So wanted to make sure to call that out there. But the good news is that if you are a brand and you really do need content creation, you're going to have a really fun time working with influencers to create special, fun, unique content for your social accounts. And obviously from there, if your Instagram account grows, it's going to be more attractive to your potential customers. It's going to be easier for you because you're going to be able to basically just turn around content versus spending your time and your resources creating them. So maybe a little bit easier to find influencers to work with here, but you really do need to be careful that they match the aesthetic that you're looking for. And if you do the work on the front end, finding the right people to work with, then you're going to be happy with that content and it's going to be a win as far as a successful campaign or goal. Ways that you can find some of these influencers, I'll definitely make sure to go into this in more detail in later episodes, but a great way to find good influencers that will create awesome content for you is by looking at other, you know, competitor brands, stalking their sponsored posts, see who did posts that performed well and look at that person's aesthetic and look at, you know, kind of their look and their photography style. You can look through the comments on those photos, and a lot of times they're going to be comments from other influencers that have like a similar vibe or a similar industry or a similar theme that you can reach out to then and work with. So you can get creative in a lot of different ways. That's just one tip that I wanted to throw out there. Find influencers who create content that you want to see, reach out to them, and then reach out to their friends, essentially. So other than that, important notes like which products that they should feature, that's super important to make sure that you are very clear about what your expectation is from a brand perspective. But other than that, really leave the creation part up to them. That's what they're good at, and that's why you're working with them. So while photographers are used to seeing shot lists, influencers aren't. And they definitely do get turned off if the guidelines are too long or they feel too restricted in the creation process, and that will actually turn them away from wanting to work with you. You don't want to overwhelm them with guidelines. So if you pick the right people, like I said, it should be easy to get awesome content for them. Oh, and before I forget, make sure that you get their consent to repurpose their content and writing. So make sure that they're aware and that they give you permission to repost their content. And when you do, make sure to give them credit. You need to, as a brand, provide extra value to these influencers that you're working with, and especially the ones that are working with you for free. So tag them if you repost their content, repost them in stories and tag them. Engage in their posts. So if they're creating content and posting it, make sure that you like and share and comment and all of those things and help drive up their engagement too. You can even reach out to influencers who have a great aesthetic that maybe you do want to pay. Maybe they have a little bit more expertise or they have a little bit more professional look or equipment, and you can just ask them to create content for you. And if you're not asking them to post it on their feed, there's a great probability that they're going to offer a lower rate for you. So that's a good way that you can save money. If you need content creation, is just to reach out to influencers. Doesn't really matter if they're micro or macro. If they are photographers or they are just macro influencers who have really, really professional content, a lot of times you can get a better rate. And hey, if they end up liking the content they make for you, there's a good chance that they're still going to post about it. Time is money as an influencer, and I doubt an influencer would let go good content go to waste. So keep that in mind as well. You never know what you're going to get, especially if you treat them well, treat them with respect, and have a great relationship with them. Good things will definitely come from that. So what if your goal is to increase your sales? This is the last point that I'm going to go over today. This is a less common goal, but at the same time, it's the real ultimate goal of any and all influencer marketing initiatives. Am I right? Let's go back to the above approach of reaching out to 5 influencers who post twice, and that'll get you 1 million impressions, right? On paper, you've hit your goal, but this may not be the best strategy if you're looking to increase sales for your business. Think about it. You're hitting the same audience twice, and while repetition is a valuable marketing strategy, it's a bigger risk to take. If you spread that $5,000 out over 50 influencers at around 10,000 followers, you still get the benefit of utilizing the swipe up feature, and you get to have some more unique impressions, aka different eyes on your products. This is less of a gamble when you have 50 sets of audience rather than 5 to see what types of influencers will convert to sales for you. When you take this approach, you'll also need to be mindful on the front end and set up unique tracking links and revenue codes. This will help you see what revenue is coming from what influencer and how much money overall this campaign is going to bring into your business, because I guarantee your boss and your boss's boss is going to know how that money was used and what return that you guys got. Revenue or promo codes are basically personalized discounts that you can set up for each influencer to share with their audience, and you know, hopefully that will incentivize them to buy. Some brands offer affiliate deals, rather they will pay influencers or a percentage of the revenue that they bring in, or they just give discount codes out and influencers like to share them as an added value or bonus to their followers. So I do want to bring up a side point here. This is a really, really great bargaining tool if you're a micro influencer. So I would highly suggest asking for a discount code from a brand you're working with. An advantage that you do have as a micro influencer is high engagement rate. So if you do a great job at converting your followers to customers for brands, even without the swipe up feature, this is converting your, this is a great way to lead your followers to purchase something from a brand you're working with, and you're going to have a way to show your brand the value that you're bringing them. So you're going to be able to say, hey, I know I only have 4,000 followers, but I got you, you know, $500 in revenue. So I would love for you to consider sponsoring a post for the next campaign, because I know my audience loves your stuff. I know that they're going to buy it if I promote it. And for me as a brand manager or an influencer marketing specialist, you know, managing that budget, I'm definitely going to see value in that. So just wanted to add a quick note for you influencers listening that that's something you can ask for from brands, and that they can tell you how much revenue that you have brought in up to this point. And brands, this is something you should be tracking monthly. And it's pretty easy to do through Shopify or for whatever, through whatever platform hosts your sales for your business. Another tip, if your goal is to drive sales, is to pick influencers whose promoted posts do very well, so that have really great engagement. Some influencers get great engagement on everything but sponsored posts, because that's not what their audience is used to seeing from them. When that's especially the case for newer influencers. Choose influencers who are seen as experts in your industry, whose credibility is highly regarded by their followers. They'll be much more likely to buy a product this person suggests. However, if you want to look out for accounts that are over, however, you do want to look out for accounts that are overly promotional. So where every other post is a sponsored post. That can be a big audience turnoff and honestly a big brand turnoff if I go to your feed and it's nothing but sponsored posts. It makes it seem like the influencer is only kind of out there for the money and is basically just going to promote whatever comes through the door. So finally, make sure this type of influencer hasn't recently been promoting something directly similar to your product or your brand. I'm not a fan of restricting or exclusivity agreements or anything like that with brands, but you do want to kind of look out for similar promotion of maybe the exact same product. So now do you see why it's so important to identify your goal before reaching out to influencers? It's going to be the guiding light for setting up your specific goals, your guidelines, what you'll offer each influencer, what you're going to ask from them, and how much you're able to or need to spend. The more prepared you are on the front end, the more success that you're going to see from working with influencers. Next week, I'll be back with some more helpful tips of what to do from here, like tips for building your reach out lists, what to say, and where to say it. Thank you so much for listening in, and I'd love to hear your feedback. I would love to hear what you've learned from this episode, what you enjoyed. So make sure to go comment on my latest Instagram post what you liked about this episode. I would love to hear what you think. I am at Jules, T-H-M-P-S-N, Thompson without the O's, and I'll see you next time. Wait, before you go, just wanted to make sure that you knew that you can now head to julesthompson.com to subscribe to my email list, where I'm going to be sending you every single podcast that comes out from here on out and be sending you those awesome PDFs and checklists that I'm going to be creating for you guys to really guide you on your influencer marketing journey. So make sure to head to julesthompson.com, drop your email, and so you never miss a podcast again. I'm also on 6 different podcast app sites like Google Podcasts, Anchor, and Spotify. So if it's easier for you to consume your podcast there, I am now available. So find Added Value with Jules Thompson anywhere you listen to podcasts. And super thankful for your support. Thanks for listening. Hope you guys have an awesome week, and we'll talk soon. Bye.